Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome on this beautiful day of worship as we praise and celebrate God's name. We celebrate the martyrdom of John Huss, and we celebrate our 4th of July and Independence this week as well. A lot of announcements as we get started. Just a reminder, once again, the joint board will be locking the front doors after worship begins. This is just an extra security precaution that we are taking at this moment to make sure everyone stays safe. But feel free to let us know, text a member of the joint board or our trustee of the month if you'd like to come in later, or you just need to knock and we'll make sure we get you taken care of. Brown Bag and Big Ideas will not meet tomorrow. Obviously, the 4th of July, we want you to spend that with your family and friends. For the same reason, we will not be having Roost Circle as well, but they will meet on July 11th at Bob Evans at 6 p.m. CEC will be meeting at the end of the month this month instead of the beginning because of all of the holiday and our camp activities. So CEC will meet on July 25th. What's that?
That's
the August meeting. Okay, correct. And then let's see. I just want to give a big shout out to all those people who made our VBS a wonderful and awesome week. We had 30 kids from our combined churches. We had a great time with our North Carolina mission team. We give a special thanks to Jean Ann, who helped transport our kids. And it was really great to see. I think there were like 6 or 7 from each church. So to come together and have this larger VBS was a great experience, one I hope we can do in the future as well. And then speaking of youth ministry, please make sure to get your sign-up forms for Camp Bethany and Tar Hollow in as soon as you can. We would love to see a good turnout as we return to camp. Camp Bethany is for 3rd grade through 6th grade, and then Tar Hollow is for 7th grade up to age 21. So we hope you get a chance to do that. You will have a camp scholarship available through the church, and we look forward to the opportunity to support all of our kids. Our sermon response question today, as we think and ponder about our message today, is what are some ways that we can get more in touch with our childlike faith? We're thinking about VBS this week. What are some ways we can get more in touch with our childlike faith? This is all I have for announcements. Please rise as we extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. Peace. And remain standing as we do our watchword. We're going to get this down. We're reprogramming ourselves. Our watchword for the week is Galatians 6, verse 9. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Amen. Please remain standing as we join together to sing Heart with Loving Heart United, hymn number 401. Thank you. today as we hear God's word in Scripture.
The Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 10 through 14. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. And then the New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with holy angels.
Amen. Let us come to God in a time of prayer, a time to reflect, a time to uplift, and a time to share our worries, our concerns, and our joys with God. First and foremost, we give thanks for 4th of July weekend, that we get to celebrate freedom and independence, that all of us get to experience, that we know that many people in our world do not get to experience. And we also give thanks for the many that have made the ultimate sacrifice to make that possible. We also celebrate July 6th, the martyrdom of John Huss. We give thanks for his legacy, his faith, his discipleship, that helped give birth to the church that we know it today. We also give thanks for a wonderful VBS, as we shared earlier. We give thanks for our missionaries from North Carolina. We pray for safe travels as they head home, and we continue to ask God to continue to bless our youth ministries. We also celebrate prayers of joy this week. Shane and Allison Schanhauer were married over this past week. We celebrate with them, with Becky and Don as well, and a wonderful celebration for their family. We also uplift prayers for people who have been sick or in need of healing prayers, who are not feeling well, or recovering or dealing with cancer treatment. We pray for the following people: Donna Swatho, Janet West, Lynn Reichman, Dot Traxel, Tammy Reynolds, Tim Reynolds, Tammy Bennett, Corey Beitzel, Dave Poole, Ryan Castor, COVID-19, people who are suffering from COVID-19, as we have seen a rise in cases this past few weeks. We continue to pray for our nation. We continue to pray for our world, that we continue to be a place of peace, and continue to take care of refugees who have been kicked out of their homeland, thinking especially of the people of Ukraine. Let us take some time in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, we spend so much of our lives in busyness and activity and speaking so much, but just help us take a moment today, an hour, just to reflect, to be with you, to listen to the still voice that lives within us. And help us to understand that in order to hear it sometimes, we need to quiet our hearts, quiet our voices, and just listen for your presence in our lives. Let us listen for you now. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, friendship, those who are feeling lost, those who are anxious about the future. Help them to know you already know where you are going to take us. And we put our trust in your hands. And help us to continue to be your humble servants, the people who follow the legacy of not just John Huss, but Jesus Christ. And let us listen to his words on the cross, that we should lay down our life for each other as Christ Jesus laid down his life for each of us. And may we be called to be your humble servants, to give faithfully, with wholeheartedly, and with every fiber of our being, for the faith, mercy, and love of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. This time we turn to our offering. Once again, reminding you, no plate going up and down the pew. We do have one in the back for you, for those of you who'd like to make an in-person donation, and continue to ask that you support community efforts as we continue to look for ways that we can give and increase our outreach beyond our own church. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in the offertory hymn. Together in the prayer of dedication. Holy Spirit, help us to be devout and humble in our faith as John Huss was. May we serve you with open hearts and open minds. Amen. You may be seated, and the children may come forward for the children's chat. You can come right up there. I'm just going to grab a few things out of my bag of tricks for you. All right. Go ahead, make yourself comfy right up there. Right there with you. All right. Why don't we sit right here? Oh, we're gonna have some fun with those. Believe me. What's that, Jayden? I like the blue. That looks cool. Yeah, make yourself comfy.
Yeah, I have to.
Oh yeah. We're going to use them in our illustration. So how are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good? Who's excited for the 4th of July? What's your favorite thing about the 4th of July? Fireworks? Yeah, like, does anybody do parades? Yeah, I know a few people do a lot of parades back there, right? Ron looks a little tired from doing a lot of parades. Oh, yeah? Nice. What's your favorite thing about parades, Jayden?
My mom made us went to a parade and we got candy.
Candy, I love candy. Candy's awesome about parades. We used to get a handful of Tootsie Rolls. So we're going to talk about, in Moravians, we celebrate this guy named John Huss, and we celebrate the day that he gave his life for the church on a day that's very close to 4th of July. Does anybody know what day that is? Rylan? July 6th. Yeah, you both got that right. July 6th is the day we celebrate John. So when we get close to that day, what were you going to say? Nice. Very cool. When we get close to that day, we retell the story of John Huss. So what we're going to do is we're going to grab our props and we're going to retell the story of John Huss. So who would like to be our humble priest John today? Aubrey, you want to be our humble priest John? This is John Huss, everyone. You can wear this however you want. You're the priest. You're in charge. You can wear it on your belt. You can wear it over the top. All right. This is your congregation out here. You are preaching in the 1400s, and this is what we would call the historic Bethlehem Chapel in Prague, the largest and most coolest church in the world. Like, at that time, they had innovative things. Like, on that wall over there, you can see they have hymns that they would actually write that they could sing together as congregational hymns. We have it written in invisible ink today. That's why you can't see it. And he lived in a place called Bohemia. Bohemia is a pretty cool place. Would somebody like to be the townsperson from Bohemia? You get to wear this nice pirate Hawaiian shirt. You want to wear that shirt? All right. He just wants to wear the shirt. I don't have it unbuttoned, so I'll let you take care of that. Now, does anybody remember the people of Bohemia? They're famous for a song. So Ryland, he's just a poor boy. Say it louder. He's just a poor boy. There we go. And he's from Bohemia, so I'll let you take that shirt. And John was, now when we get to this story, John preached to the people of Bohemia. And he preached about God's love and God's courage. But who wants to be my pope? Oh, James jumped right up at that. You're going to be my pope. And he preached, John was this humble Catholic priest at this time, who preached love and courage to all the people of Bohemia. But there lived Pope James. And Pope James at that time, Pope started out as really humble people who were in charge of the church, but as time grew, they became powerful. They became strong. They had so much money, everybody would want to kiss the ring of the Pope. Even Jacob would want to kiss the ring of the Pope. And he got strong and powerful, and he moved to Vatican City with a nice Italian family over here. And he made them happy, and he ruled. And instead of focusing on what was John talking about, he was talking about loving people, taking care of people. What were you talking about? Getting rich, right? You're talking about making money. You're talking about selling the forgiveness of sins and doing things like that. So John worked hard. But then there lived a king in Bohemia. I wasn't sure who it was. It might have been Sigmund or Wenceslas at this time. Who wants to be the king of Bohemia? Brandon? Jaden? Brandon, you want to be the king? All right. He'll be the reluctant and powerful king right there. King Wenceslas. And you're the one in charge. And at that time, John had this power struggle with the Pope. And when you have the most powerful man in the world and a humble priest from a poor family, who often wins that power struggle? The powerful guy. So what happens is, in this power struggle, the Pope declares an interdict against the poor, humble people of Bohemia. Now you gotta be sad. Do you know what an interdict is? It means you can't celebrate any of the rites or services of the church. So your humble grave diggers, Jaden, you wanna be my grave digger?
No.
You want the puppy, huh? So my humble grave diggers, Jacob Canaan, there we go, who work hard to support their families and friends. He has his grave digging post here. Very important thing when the plague is going around. But then the Pope says, hey, I declare an interdict. I declare an interdict. Say it loud and evilly. He declares an interdict. So all of a sudden, Jacob, you have to stop. You can't bury anyone. You can't... Here, I'll let you hold the puppy. I'll let you hold the puppy. You can't bury anyone. You can't baptize anyone. You can't marry anyone. Everything stops because the Pope says you have to. So all this pressure gets on John, because what happens when you can't bury people? What happens to your town? It gets a little smelly. It gets a little gross. You can't marry people. So all your happily soon-to-be-married couples in a month, they can't get married. So then they're shaking their fist at John. So Jaden, you're going to come with me. So John was worried, but he knew that the Pope wanted to see him, say hi, James, in a place called Constance, where they had this council. And this was a high council. And John brought his loyal puppy Wishbone and his best friend Jaden with him. And they're going to go on this pilgrimage. But oh, he does have a nice spot. I'm going to put you in charge of him, okay? Now, John, do you think it's a good idea to go see the Pope if you're scared of him? It's scary, right? So, no. So what happens is the Pope is a smart guy. So he invents this piece. This is the Monopoly piece. This is a get-out-of-jail-free card. And James, Pope James produces this. He hands it to his humble servant, and he says, John Huss, you can come to Constance, and I guarantee you with this card that you will not get hurt, that nothing bad will happen to you. So John, you celebrate, say yay. All right, so now John and Jaden are going to head out to Constance to go see the Pope. Going to go party, say hi to everybody. It's a long journey. You got your donkey, your camel, your puppy. And then they get to Constance. And then you hand this to Pope James. And what does Pope James do? Yep, do you have a diabolical laugh? You do a... He says, this interdict I offer you, guess what? You didn't read the coupon at the bottom. Not for heretics. No heretics are allowed. So he tricked you into coming into Constance. And then, ooh, yeah, ooh. So you come there, but the Pope doesn't want to make you into a hero. So all he asks you to do is to kiss his ring and to say that I haven't been wrong, that it's okay that the Pope comes before God. And what do, John Huss? You refuse to kiss his ring. You refuse to do any of that thing. And even his friends and family over here beg John, tell John, please just kiss the ring so you can live.
Yay, John!
And just say, no, no, I'm not doing that. No way am I doing that. And John refuses. So on July 6, 1415, the Pope intervenes with his Italian council. And he says, all right, we got a real problem. I don't think this guy's going to bend. So I think we're going to have to do something about it. You guys agree?
Yep.
All right. And then on July 6, 1415, John Huss lays down his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He becomes what's called a martyr. Does anybody know what that word means? It means he laid down his life for something bigger than himself, that he was willing to sacrifice his life. So John does this wonderful and awesome thing, and he goes back. This story, John doesn't obviously go back, but this story about John Huss goes back to Bohemia and to all the people, even the loyal grave workers. And they hear about the light and inspiration of John Huss. And the Catholic Church at that time tried to burn it out. Can you try to burn out my candle? Try to burn out my candle? Want to try to burn it out? There we go. Brandon, you want to try? Burn out my candle? No one could burn out the light that John Huss had inspired. So his love, his mercy, and his grace in the story of Jesus lives on. And that's why from 1415 until what year is it today? 2022. His legacy lives on. And that's why we still tell the story about John Huss. Because sometimes the bad guy wins at first, but then sometimes it's the story of Christ that gets the last word. And that light of Christ that lived with John stayed with us in the Moravian Church for 600 years. And that's why that light is part of our inspiration. Amen. All right, let's get in our circle and pray. And we can put our toys back there, or we'll reassemble. Thank you. Humble grave digger, would you like to pray with us?
If I did my math correctly, that was...
What's that?
If I did my math correctly, that was 607
years. 607 years. We actually celebrated the 600th anniversary not too long ago. You okay, Jaden? You want to pray with us? Oh, did you hurt your... You want me to help you up? Here, we'll get in our circle. You can hold on to the puppy if you want when you're done with that. You want to hold on to it now? That's fine. We can pray with puppies.
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you watch over this kid, remind them that we are the children of John Huss, that we humbly carry his story, his legacy, and his love with us. And all we use that for is to share the story of Jesus. So help each one of us be inspired to share that story. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. If you want to play with, Jaden, if you want to play with that for a little while, you can. I don't know. You can ask Tristan if he wants that shirt. You may want to keep it. He wasn't as into the Hawaiian shirt as I was. You can go ahead and take it back, bud. There you go. Perfect. I'll take it from you. Wonderful. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the message that you have to share with us today, and just continue to inspire us to live out your words in all we do, all we say, and all we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. So as you can see from our children's chat today is the day we honor the legacy of the martyr Jan Hus. Jan Hus is not the founder of the Moravian Church, but much like that light that we have today, he is the source of inspiration for it. Because John never wanted to build a new church, he just wanted to fix what was corrupt in the church that he saw there, that he saw in his time, excuse me. But it was his commitment, his dedication, and ultimately his sacrifice for Jesus that inspired the foundation for our humble beliefs that we have in the Moravian Church. You see, Jan Hus saw that the church had strayed as far as it could go from its childlike and simple faith. Popes, like our Pope in the back, were no longer elected on the basis of their spiritual gifts, but it was on the basis of their political connections and the amount of monies and cathedrals they could build for the church. The money and the power of the church corrupted it so much that it actually made it an enemy of the poor people it swore to protect. Well, we looked at our humble grave digger that we had in Jacob. If you didn't have the money to pay for your loved one to be buried at that time, it wouldn't happen. They became an enemy of the poor people of Bohemia and all other places throughout the world. But it was a humble Bohemian priest, Jan Hus, who pointed the church back to Jesus. And Jan came from very humble means, by the way. He had to get a scholarship to even be able to go to school. And they asked him very early on in his religious education, why did you choose to be a priest? Because it's the only way I knew where to get food, was to serve the church, to do this role. So that's how he started out and turned into a very faithful man in the process. And Jan Hus had no intention of starting a new church. He just wanted these really horrible and atrocious wrongs that he saw to be corrected. He wanted Jesus to be the focus of the church, and not the Pope, not the Council, not the Vatican. He wanted Jesus at the center of it all. And the interesting thing is, the Council of Constance, which we talked about, is these people were not these angry, blood-fiend, vengeance people that we make them out to be. They gave Jan chance after chance to repent, to recant. Just say it. Just say maybe a little bit that the Pope is a little higher on our scale than Jesus, that the Pope hasn't strayed in seeking all this money and all this forgiveness of sins and selling it. But Jan, in good conscience, could not even sacrifice his convictions in even the smallest ways. Friends and fellow priests would visit him in the middle of the night in his cold dungeon and beg him to recant. John, do it for your people. Do it for the people sitting in Bohemia so you can go back to them, so you can preach for them. Compromise on your convictions just a little for your people. But John couldn't. He could not do that, because he had within him a childlike faith. Friends and fellow priests would visit him in the middle of the night and beg him to recant. And as we talked, John just couldn't give in. And on July 6, 1415, he picked up his cross and laid down his life for the gospel of Jesus. An account shared that when the fires were around Jan Hus, that you could hear him singing gospel hymns as he knew he was about to surrender his life for something so worthy and so pure, to follow a risen Savior. And John gave it all to follow Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we are the children of Jan Hus. And we have to remember that it was Hus who showed us that a childlike faith in Christ, a simple faith, is not a weak faith. In fact, it's incredibly strong faith. And I thought about these words a lot in the midst of VBS this week. It seemed fitting that these things were colliding. Because when you think about it, our kids have a very enriching faith in spiritual life. They don't just want to sit in the pew with their faith, but they want to sing their faith. They want to dance their faith. They want to feel God's creation in the clay of their craft projects or the beads of the necklaces they make. They want to taste it in the little bread that they make for each other. And as adults, we talk about how we should experience God with our five senses quite a bit. We go to 3 or 4 hour workshops about it, but our kids show us how to make those words a reality because they live it. They seek to touch God. They seek to listen to God. They seek to do all these different things, to hear God. What are some ways, here's our question, what are some ways we can get more in touch with our childlike faith as adults? What are some ways we can get more in touch with our childlike faith as adults? Take some time to reflect and write on that one. What are some ways we can get more in touch with our childlike faith? See some responses. What are some ways we can get more in touch with our childlike faith? Don't take everything so seriously all the time. Have fun at church and activities. It's okay to smile in church, right? We can be happy to be here. We can enjoy that. Music, camp, praying, dancing, absolutely. One of the things I've noticed not having church camp these past 2 years is that my spiritual cup gets a little lower, not being able to pray, to sing and dance with y'all. VBS, our camps, absolutely, those are good responses. Believe, without question, just know in your heart that God is there for you. I'm sharing my first prayer that God answered me, absolutely. Think about how you prayed to God when you were 5, 6, 10 years old, and say those prayers again. Connect to who you were when you were a child. Be faithful. Yeah, keep it simple. We can get so lost in the deep and theological, but just staying connected to that faith, to that love. And I think it's important for all of us to strive to connect more with our childlike faith. Because as adults, our lives become so regimented. They become so programmed that we can't help but put God in a nice little box every Sunday when we take it off the shelf and then we put it back done when church is done. But as children, we realize that God is infinite. God is awesome. God is universal, and he's also incredibly personal. Because he speaks to me differently than he speaks to Emily or to Ron or to Doug or to Jacob or McKenna or Brandon. God speaks to each of us differently. So God and his love can be found everywhere. Children realize that, and we need to remember that. Because in fact, staying rooted in our childlike faith gives us far more conviction and ground to stand on than we ever had as adults. And it keeps God from being trapped way above us in the clouds to a God that stays anchored in our hearts. Listen to our scripture again today, Mark 8:36. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? What will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? In other translations, it says, to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul. Think about that question when you're not sure about if doing something is right. Is it worth your soul? Is it worth sacrificing all that? We have to keep that question on our hearts and minds. Because Jesus and the story of Jan Hus reminds us that our convictions, that our faith, that our love, that our courage is not, nor will ever be for sale. It's something we cannot compromise on. And it's so easy. People just say it, just like they did with Jan Hus. Just do it a little bit. Just compromise a little bit on your conviction. But we know what happens. It starts to backslide. And a little bit becomes a lot of it. And we have to remember that the world will constantly challenge our values. And it wasn't just Hus's generation that dealt with people corrupting or abusing the gospel. In our world today, you hear often about the prosperity gospel, people using Jesus to say that Jesus wants us to make a ton of money for the church and build these huge things, cathedrals, just as they did in the 1400s. We see people in our world who twist the personal message of Jesus to make money for themselves. It is so easy to judge the sins of the church in the past without ever acknowledging our shortfalls today. And the church of the 1400s was not perfect. The church of 2022 is not perfect. All of us fall short of the glory of God. So that is why we have to get back, no matter where we are, no matter where we stand in history, to that childlike faith. We keep it simple. Be faithful. Be loving. Be hopeful. Because we need to remain strong and deep-rooted in our convictions, just like Hus was. But we also need to be flexible to grow in those convictions, just as children are. They have an openness and a willingness to learn. Christ and his cross of redemption must remain our compass at all times. Not our leaders, not our pastors, not our sanctuaries, but Jesus has to be our compass. He has to be the one leading us, shaping us, and guiding us. Because this world is going to push us and stretch us in our convictions. But the deeper our roots are in Jesus, the stronger we can stay connected to that compass, that source of love and wisdom in our lives. And having those deep roots in Jesus is what also will allow us to keep growing as children of God, to make sure that light that lives within us cannot burn out, that each one of us are inspired by the glory, the mercy, and the love of Jesus. And as we come to his table today, help each one of us remember that none of us are saved by our own doings, by our own works, but each and every one of us is marked by the mercy, the love, and forgiveness of God. And that is why we celebrate this meal as a family, for all of us are equal and loved in the eyes of our loving and merciful Creator. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, prepare our hearts and our minds for the table today, and just help us to humbly honor the legacy of Jan Hus, and to make sure that we are not using it to beat our chest and talk about how our church has existed for 600 years, but to make sure that we are humbly following in those footsteps of discipleship, of faithful living, of sacrifice, and knowing that all of us should be deep-rooted in our convictions, in our Lord and Savior. that we too are willing to pick up our cross if needed. But we should be so thankful that our faith is not calling us to do that today, that all we have to do is to share the gospel of Christ, to live it, and to ultimately just feel it in our hearts every single day. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in song and prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion in celebration of John Huss. Once again, a reminder that the Moravian Church has an open communion table. All who welcome Christ's love in their heart are welcome at our table. That includes those of you who are joining us for worship virtually. We encourage you to bring your own crackers or juice or whatever you have as we celebrate this gift that has been given to us by Jesus. Let us pray the liturgy of Holy Communion together. Grace, mercy, and peace be from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Please rise as we share the right way with fellowship. To your table today that comes to us universally as a congregation and personally as individuals. Gracious God, we ask you to forgive us for our sins, for what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved our neighbors and our families as ourselves. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have been quick to anger and judgment, but still, the second forgiveness enters our lips, you forgive and blot out our transgressions completely and wholly. Thank you. Help us to give thanks for the gift of your redeeming love today, because we know it is important to celebrate the martyr Jan Hus, but it's also far more important to know why he sacrificed his life for the mission, the ministry, and the redemptive love of Jesus Christ. May that be our purpose today. And we share the words that you taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Mm-hmm.
right. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacrament, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace. Amen.
Extend the right wave of fellowship. His countenance upon you and give you peace.